Welcome, welcome to IQ on Air, Sunday the 27th of June. What's the year, Neil?
2021.
Oh, welcome everybody. It feels like we haven't been here for ages, but it's only been 1 month. How are you today, Mata Neil Mangalei?
Oh, I'm so cold. That's what I is feeling right now.
You really mean cold like the C cold or the G cold?
Yeah. G cold. Well, what's the G code?
Because when you say cold, it sounded like gold. I'm so cold.
Oh, right. No. So, yeah. Makariris.
Makariris.
Makariri aho.
Well, I love winter because I can do things to get warm. But in the summer, when it's too hot, the only thing I can do to cool down is jump in the cold shower. And then after 15 showers a day, I'm beginning to look like a raisin. Anyway, Mataniu Mangalei, would you like to kick us off tonight with our gratitude round?
Yes.
Mole mole.
Tala for lava, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you for being here with us tonight. I'm going to talk about an event I was at yesterday, enjoying the company of friends and people that I've known through this beautiful sports team, the Wildcats. I sat with this beautiful woman, Sharon, who is one hell of a woman, and sitting with her, she told me the story of giving birth to her first child, her firstborn, and then 2 weeks later was actually on the field playing for the finals and having won the finals for this year.
Now, you're not talking about golf,
no,
right?
I'm talking about American football.
American football, gridiron.
I'm really grateful to have superwoman like that in my life, that I'm thinking, I can't wait to get back on the field when this season comes around, because I look at this woman and I'm thinking, just after having a baby and you're out there on the field and then you go for the win. That really empowered me to think, age is just a number. Never mind what the knee is telling you. Go for gold, because I'm grateful for beautiful people like that that inspire me to do what I've always wanted to do, and never mind how old you are or what your bones tell you.
Now, did you ask Sharon if she goes to the laundromat to clean her Wonder Woman outfit, or does she get it dry cleaned?
I have no idea, but you know, she's just that, having that brief time with her that evening was so fantastic. All beautiful. I could think of was the woman of the Papa Toy Toy Wildcats. You guys are so strong. I can't wait till season starts in October this year for the
Shot
new year.
Sharon. Wonderful. Yes. Oh, so you're grateful to have spent time with her and listened to her story.
Absolutely.
That is so cool. Thank you, Mataniel. Gratitude round. I am so grateful for many things, but the one thing I'd like to highlight today is I'm really grateful for the class of amazing people that I was able to study with and graduate with together from MIT. Manukau Institute of Technology, the School of Counseling. And many of these amazing women and men are still good friends of mine. And I'm just grateful to have had my life blessed by their stories, by their support, and by their friendship. So I believe if you meet people who inspire you, who uplift you, and who show genuine care for you, keep them in your life.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter how, you know, far apart you may end up. Sometimes when you meet again, it's like you're never apart. And that heart is just there. So I'm so grateful for those kinds of relationships and friendships. Absolutely. Lover. So, Neil, I wanted to kick our talanoa off today by looking at a couple of quotes that we posted in our IQ Talanoa Facebook page. And if you'd like to join our IQ Talanoa Facebook page, go to Facebook and in the search space, type in IQ space Talanoa, T-A-L-A-N-O-A. And we have a couple of quotes there. Neil, would you like to pick one to read? And then we'll have a talanoa about it.
Yeah, okay, I really love both of them, but the one I'll choose to read today says, gratitude paints little smiley faces on everything it touches. I really love that because gratitude has no age limit. It has no barriers. Gratitude is something that you could finger paint, something that you could use your nose to paint with, but the fact that there's a smiley face on everything it touches means, it's just something that everybody can participate in or everybody can share with another person. So I love that because a smiley face, you don't smile for yourself. Well, maybe you do, but the person receiving the smile is the one that also is blessed because of it.
Do you have a story?
I was just thinking of one, yes.
You're just thinking of one. On our drive up, while Neil was thinking of what she's going to share, we had quite a robust discussion about gratitude, about entitlement, about appreciation. So Neil and I were born, what kind of babies are we? They talk about generation A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I think we were just... Generation never mind, I don't know.
Generation never mind, but really we were generating. Generation amazing.
Yes, yes.
So when we grew up, Neil, we were sent to school.
Yes.
Our parents had come over on the first boat from Samoa because they wanted us to have a better life, better prospects, better future for their mum and dad weren't thinking just of us. They were thinking of their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. And what we could do in Aotearoa to go back home and send back home or whatever back home to Samoa to also bless their lives. So they worked their butts off and they worked in cleaning. I remember Dad had a printing job in Wellington with the Evening Post and Mum had a, she was either sewing or she was cleaning also. But at night time, they all had an evening cleaning job that the whole family went to. So they worked really hard. And I suppose as a child, I didn't realize how hard our parents had to work in order to just pay rent on where we were. And then eventually they were able to save up money to buy a house. Then you have to pay the mortgage. You have to pay the school bills. You have to buy food and clothing. So we were talking about that. So when Neil read out gratitude paints little smiley faces on everything it touches, I think of some of the things I was really ungrateful for as a bratty teenager. Even coming into adulthood, you know, I would focus on things that I didn't like or things that that hurt my feelings. But, you know, now I'm a grandparent, a parent, and I can see now the sacrifices our parents made, and I'm so grateful. And so I'm going to pass the time to Neil to share her experience or her story.
Okay, so in the school that I work in, we are very fortunate to be one of the high schools that receive free lunches.
So
that's
been part of the Labour Party program?
I'm not sure. Yeah, they rolled it out earlier this year, and in term two, we've become one of the schools that have recipients of that. And we get a fantastic caterer, the DJs. Oh, DJs is the name of the caterer. They provide meals for us for both breaks. So whatever's not eaten in the first break, it's also the same provided at the second break. They have vegetarian meals. They have a change of beef, chicken, or just regular pasta, and it's really yummy. It's encouraged for children first, so of course we teachers have to wait till second break, which is not a problem because by the time second break, it's almost like still half of the food is there.
It's
still there because now the children are saying, oh, we had this last month. I don't want that. I want to ask, you know, I'll ask my buddy for money and we're going to go to the tuck shop and we're going to get this. You know, it's unfortunate that our children, and I'm not saying all of them, but the gratitude that they should be feeling isn't quite there. So when we try to remind them, like I even tell them, so I don't care. I'm like, you know what, when I was in high school or when I went to school, I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And my friends were
and
like,
sometimes we didn't even have the jelly part, the jam.
That's true.
And sometimes we didn't even have the bread. Seriously, we didn't have bread. So we'd have to take bakeka, potato.
Yes.
Or sometimes,
wrapped
you know,
in foil.
Wrapped in foil, if we had foil. Sometimes we didn't have foil.
Just a paper bag.
Just a paper bag.
Or newspaper.
If we had a paper bag.
Yes.
Newspaper was
our friend.
Yeah, because Dad worked for a newspaper, yeah. So we had plenty of newspaper.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that our children aren't grateful, but it's now starting to sound like they are. And it's unfortunate because parents obviously don't understand that there is free food available at the school because kids are still going to the tuck shop to buy a food, which is unfortunate because I'm thinking this is a program that provides food, but unfortunately our kids aren't seeing that it's provided for them and their parents are still paying.
So I suppose I'm going to come in here and say, did the children ask for this food? Because you're telling me there was pasta and chicken and
beef.
And the things that we used to dream of, that we knew our Palangi friends were going home to eat,
yes.
While we went home and looked for foil to wrap our sandwich for the next day.
Mm.
I'm wondering, you know, you're in a predominantly, you're in a South Auckland high school, right? Predominantly, what is the demographic for your school?
Yeah, so we are Haere and Pacific Island and Māori, Fiji and Indian descent. We do have a mixture of Asian community as well.
Sounds like a really good mix of
a nice diverse
a good
group,
representation.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, did they have any input into the menu?
So yes, they did have, in term one, our DP pulled children from all the year groups to sample the things that our caterers were asked to provide, and they ticked. And, you know, they all had a survey. They had
so they were sampling things that they did not have input in. Like, I'm wondering, were the students, you know, like, surveyed into, what would you like to see in the school lunch?
No. It was only what only what the caterers could provide. They were given that smorgasbord sample and give a rating, and then those of the highest ratings were the ones on the menu.
Because I'm thinking sometimes if I'm introduced to a new food, I'm not going to eat it because, you know, we don't eat that food. We never had pasta, not that I remember as a child. And I love pasta now, but when I first saw it, I thought, only rich people eat that. So I'm not going to eat that. And I'm wondering if maybe the government needs to look at, for the future, talking to the students at the school. Do you want this in the first place? And if you do, what would you like to see on the menu? And do the kids need it every single day?
That's actually a good idea, eh?
So those conversations need to be had. I think that there's a danger of writing in, you know, like Wonder Woman to rescue everybody. But really, we need to have those foundation conversations with the kids who we are supposed to be catering for. They might be grateful for it, but I'm not going to eat it because that's not... We don't have that food.
It's le masangi.
And I'm going to come here and eat, but my dad at home is starving, or my mother. You know, there are many factors that need to be considered. Just wanted to put it out there.
Teachers are very grateful for these free lunches because we're masangi to that food.
Teachers deserve the best. So thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a good way to look at it, I suppose, for programs moving forward, that we need to have those foundation conversations with the communities that we are coming in to rescue. And so I think it's not a bad idea. But, you know, it would be nice for students to
have
a
voice in, eh?
Or even to write a note and say, you know, thank you for coming to our school, providing this, but can we talk about this or can we talk about that? Students, you are so amazing and just so blessed, I think, in this generation to have permission to speak. When I went to school, I won't say the high school, but I never felt that I was free to speak. And there were only a couple of teachers who I felt really safe with to open up. The rest, I just knew I had to keep my mouth shut or else I'd be singled out. And for a few years, I was only non-Palangi in the classroom. And that was hard enough to deal with, having come from Porirua, where we only had two or three Palangis in the whole school.
Yes, yes.
But we never saw them as Palangis. They were just our mates. But, yeah. So how about the second quote here?
Oh, okay. A grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. That is so true.
Amen, sister. Say it again.
A grateful heart.
Amen.
Is a magnet for miracles. I love that.
I love that quote.
A magnet for miracles.
So, how do you relate that? How do you teach that to your children, to your students, to anyone you come across?
So I have an 18-year-old daughter who has a learner license right now, and she loves to drive with or without her parents. So, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Know, sorry, right, niece, your mother just threw you under the bus.
But what I'm saying is, because she's witnessed her father and I show road courtesy, I've had to learn this, mind you, because it's not something that comes easily for me. It comes easily for my husband, but for myself, you know, when we try to merge into a lane, or we're trying to turn into to join or zip into some kind of merging
lane.
Like a
lane. Zip merge, yes, that like one. A zip.
We try to do it as safely as possible, but we always remember to click that grateful button, you know, that makes both indicators go off.
You mean the hazard button?
Yeah, that one.
The hazard lights.
Yeah, I call it the grateful button, because you're showing gratitude to the person who gave the pass to get into the lane. So I know that as much as I'm supposed to always be with my daughter, or my husband's always supposed to be with my daughter, that she's actually practicing that same grateful button thing. And she drives carefully and safely because she's witnessed that from her father and I. And so that's a miracle
wonderful
in myself.
Lesson.
I love the... So if you don't know what that gratitude or grateful button is, it's what Maureen explained.
So there's a little button in your vehicle up the front, and it's a triangle. It's got a triangle.
Is it a triangle, not a circle?
Oh, the button is rectangular, but it's got a triangle outline.
See, look,
it's usually red or orange, and it's got a triangle outline. And if you're in danger or if you are parking your car and you need people to be aware because it might be causing a hazard, then you click on that button and both indicators go on.
Mm.
Now, you can't see me, but my
your
hands
are
now blinking. So I love that too, Neil, when people, you know, when I let people in all that and they give me the grateful blinking, I think, oh, bless your heart, you know, because there are a lot of crazy-ass, ungrateful drivers out there. But when somebody shows that grateful, what did you call it?
I call it the gratitude button.
Gratitude button. It's so nice. And, you know, it just paints a little smiley face, doesn't it?
It does.
You might have had a really horrible start to your morning. You take off to work and traffic is blocked up and everything. Then you come across someone who's trying to get into that big line. You let them in and then they give you
the gratitude
blinky, eh?
Yes.
And your whole, just like this quote says, gratitude paints little smiley faces on everything it touches.
Absolutely.
And it really is a magnet for miracles. I love that, Neil. I love that's how you're teaching your daughter courtesy.
Yes. Oh, that's the right word, road courtesy.
Wonderful. So my road courtesy story is, before I discovered the grateful button, grateful blinky, I used to bless people. So if someone let me in or someone gave way, I'll go, oh, bless you, thank you so much. They can't hear me.
Oh, you're saying it to yourself in the
car. But my children can hear me. And then now, I haven't driven with my children. I don't trust their driving. I drive myself.
Oh, wow.
But I would hope, if my kids are listening, you know mummy loves you. But I would hope that they've heard me enough times to also be like that, if someone's been courteous to them on the road. And if someone isn't so courteous, I go, oh, okay, I forgive you. Not all the time, but I try my best, especially with my granddaughter, because she is like a sponge.
Yes.
She will mimic everything Nana says.
Yes.
So, you know, just see what you're practicing and demonstrating for your children. So the other person may not hear your gratitude, but those around you do, and that's how they learn.
Right.
Oh, I love that road courtesy. How cool is that?
The gratitude button. So use it. At least try to use it twice a day, every day.
It should be like a goal, yeah?
Yeah, well, well, yeah, why not? And then share it on the IQ page of how you use your gratitude button this week.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like what experience did you have this week? Or even, you know, we're coming into a new month.
Ah,
and so our
yes.
next show won't be until a month's time. So can you share an experience? We'll put something up on our Facebook page where you can share a gratitude, are we calling it gratitude button or blinky?
Yeah, either one. Yeah, that sounds really good.
Where you showed some road courtesy or somebody else showed you some road courtesy. How did you express your gratitude?
Yes.
I love
yes.
it. All right. Mm. And isn't gratitude just freeing, I think, for me? When I'm grateful to someone and I say thank you, it's mm. so freeing. I remember a few years back, I can't remember which child it was. I want to say it was Israel. And we went to Rebel Sport in Manukau. Mm. And Israel went up and paid for something. And then she said, thank you very much. And the woman, the young behind woman the behind the counter, oh my gosh, wait, wait. And she went and got someone, I think it was a supervisor. She said, can you say what you said again?
Oh,
and I'm waiting by the door. I'm like, what's going on? Oh no, did my card decline again? So I start walking back, but then my daughter walked up to me. She said, oh, Mum, I just said, you know, please and thank you. And that girl was so buzzed, she went and told her coworker. She said, people don't, you know, your age, because she was wearing a school uniform, people your age don't say thank you anymore. So she was so buzzed by that. And that, of course, like the quote says, painted a little smile.
Mm.
So remember to be grateful. Mm. Remember to thank, you know, sometimes we focus on the negative
of
somebody or someone.
Mm.
And usually it's someone close, might be a colleague, but, you know, maybe try your hardest to find something to thank them for this coming month. Yeah?
That would be really...
All right.
Really tricky for some of us, but... Give it a go anyway.
Doable, eh?
Yes.
So you might have to paint a little blink, the gratitude button thing on your T-shirt or on your hand. Remember, it's got a triangle.
Yes.
Go into your car if you're unfamiliar with it. Look for that triangle. Press it and it's like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, you need to see more in blinker hands.
My blinker hands are blinking. And that's just expressing gratitude to, you know, the person behind you. And if you made a mistake and you cut them off, hit that button.
I'm so sorry.
Bless you.
So it's an apology / gratitude / I love you, thank you.
There you go.
Gosh, all your manners in one.
Manners in one.
I love that.
Now, there is an article that we posted on our Facebook page.
Mm.
And while Neil looks it up, I'm just going to read a little bit about it. Pasifika women in New Zealand have the highest rate of antenatal and postnatal depression, yet low numbers in getting help.
Mm.
So this article, I'm going to ask you, our listener, to go to our Facebook page and read it for yourself. What Neil and I would like to discuss is why are we not getting help?
Right.
Why are our Pasifika sisters... And I would even put in our migrant sisters, our Balangi sisters, our Tangata Whenua sisters. Why are we not seeking help? What do you reckon, Neil?
In my experience with Pasifika women and families or mothers that I've worked with in the past several years in South Auckland schools, it's usually because mums are too embarrassed to talk about what they're facing. Or when things do come out and they do want to share or they want to almost unburden themselves with what they're facing, it's almost like they're too whakamā to admit that, you know, they're not keeping their house in a certain order or that they're not, you know, there is an expectation that all families will be a certain way.
Yeah.
And so when I get to share what's happening in my family, they look at me and they're like, wow, you're a school teacher and it's happening in your family? Because I'm like, it happens in every family.
Yeah.
It happens with every person. And if we don't talk about it, we can't help each other. We can't lift each other. And the more that we acknowledge that, hey, I need some help, hopefully that will then encourage other mums to talk about what they're facing. And it could be that they themselves didn't have support growing up, so they don't know how to best support their daughters who are facing hardship. And, you know, that's what I've found in the most recent cases with a lot of parents that are, they speak to me, then they, you know, they, all they know is you do it my way, or, you know, it's the wrong way. So a lot of it is like, but today our girls or our boys are facing things that we never even imagined would be something that they would face. So the last thing we want to do is enforce on them something that we ourselves have a strong belief in, but we don't know what it's like for them today.
Absolutely.
And then the worst thing is that they're blaming themselves.
Yeah.
The last thing we want is that they are blaming themselves. And just to have an open talanoa, no judgment, no pointing fingers or blame, and it's just the openness to talk, but they can't get past the fear of being found out because, oh, now they're going to look at me differently. And so, of course, when I open up with, you know what, I'll tell you about my family, and then it finally opens up. But a lot of it is the fear.
I like what you said about, you know, our parents themselves not knowing, not having the experience of being able to talk to anybody about what they might have gone through. And so if they don't know, they couldn't have modeled it for us.
Yeah,
and so us who have grown up in the education system in New Zealand, we know a little bit more than our parents did. Mm. It's up to us now to not only support our children and teach our children that it's okay to talk about these things, but to also educate and support and teach our mātua, the aunties, the uncles. I know that in my family alone, religion, Jesus Christ, is central to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are suffering from depression, you don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you are feeling low about things, you do not believe in God. You have not paid your tithing. You have not been to church for so long, no wonder you're like that.
Mm.
So I think these conversations need to be had, but we need to have the right conversations with our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know in the Pasifika space out there, there are many amazing organizations who can help you as a parent, as a caregiver, an auntie, an uncle, a mum, a big sister, learn how to have these safe conversations with our young people. I think one thing that scares me, well, concerns me in this article that I posted up, is it describes this young woman, and she's going through the motions of being a mum,
mm-hmm.
and while she's folding her laundry, just a thing every mum does, she's thinking also of killing herself, of ending things, because nobody shows her appreciation.
Mm.
She thinks nobody loves her. She thinks she's useless as a mum. She's not doing folding the laundry.
Mm.
And I can relate to that. It is so close to home, it's not funny. How many times have you even driven, just driving somewhere, and these thoughts come into your mind of, I'm useless. If I were to, you know, to go, who would miss me? Just doing everyday things that we do.
The mundane, eh?
The mundane, and yet these thoughts creep in. And if we don't feel we have a safe space or somebody safe that we can go and talk to, those thoughts will stay in there and fester.
Right.
Until
breaking
it might be
point.
Too late.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's even watching a movie and the movie is giving her, you know, she's considering suicide just watching a movie with her kids.
And we know it's not about the movie.
No.
We know it's not about the song she's listened to. It's about the not being able to empty that space, not being able to have a safe, what is it, a safe guidance, I suppose, to be able to talk about these feelings. And if we come from, in my opinion, if we come from collective cultures, if we are not like everyone else who's laughing and having a wonderful time and serving their families, what's wrong with you?
Mm.
Why are you like that? There must be something wrong with you. Not realizing, I think, my mum, who is in her 70s, I know she suffered from depression, but there wasn't a word for it back then. You just got on with the job.
Yep.
But I know she was, you know, left her family, her mother and father, who be her beloved parents back in Samoa, came here, lived with the in-laws for a while, but then had to make it out on her own with her husband and young children in a world that, you know, called her a bunga, called her a coconut. Yeah. Your name, Appy, is too hard to say, so we're going to call you Tracy.
Mm.
You know, that's the kind of world that our generation, our parents' generation grew up in. So who were they going to talk to? No one. So they learned to work through it, and they learned to toughen up. And that's why by the time we came along, I think they weren't able to recognize what their children were going through and to have those conversations. That's why I think my generation, I'm 52 now.
Mm.
Neil, how old are you? 27, 28?
Yeah, I'm 50.
Are you 50?
No, wait. Next year I'm 50.
Wanna
so
be
I'm 40.
50.
Like 50 Wanna sounds be so 50. Cool.
But, you know, our generation today, we know better.
Mm.
But we're still learning.
Right, right.
And we still need to learn how to do things better. And that's why there are so many organizations out there that we need to access. And we need to go, if you go to church and say, listen, what are we doing to help our congregation deal with depression that isn't making them lose faith already?
Right, right.
It's not a lack of faith in many cases.
You know, I have to also think that as mums, I mean, I go back to when I had my first two boys. And luckily for us, we had a nanny. That was such a grateful thing to have. A nanny that when you came home from work, everything of the house was spotless. And the only thing, and this is because my nanny is just so amazing, the only thing that was out of order was the front of the house where the kids had their toys all over the place. And in her mind, this is their play space. So I walk in and immediately my mummy mode jumps in and clean up this. I hadn't learned that my kids should have had the space to just play. And the nanny had everything all taken care of. And I think as I read this article about this young mum who was taking care of the laundry, but then the baby spills the milk and just everything turns to custard. I remember being back in that time. But then also being reminded by a elder, you know, a nanny who had been there, done that, grandmother of her own, she just told me, look, the kids are only young. It's only for a short time. Let them have their time. Your house will always be clean later, but right now this is the time for them to learn and to have their playtime.
What wisdom.
You know, so I'm so grateful that I had that nanny with us. She taught me so much about take a chill pill, Mum. You've just gone home. Enjoy your kids. And I know it was hard for me to do because I like things in their proper order. I'm so, yeah, unfortunately, my girls take after me that way. But I'm hoping, and I've learnt now, that the space is always just space. It's what's inside the space that is key. Your kids being in a safe environment and mess up what they need to. Because you can always wash the floor again. You can always do the laundry again. Yeah, okay, it's going to take more time. But the kids and the memories
you can't get that time back with your children.
That's right.
I remember, you know, growing up, and this is aunties, older cousins and my parents always saying, do you want people to come here and think you live in a pigsty?
Aoki
whaangaelo.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I felt like that was a curse and I had to, you know, but when by the time I had children, I met this woman who invited us over for board game night. So I took my children because they love board games. And we walked into her house and it was, wow, clothes everywhere.
Oh, wow.
It looked lived in. Clean, but very much lived in. She had children my age. And so we're just talking and, you know, it didn't bother me. But then she said something that I'll never forget. She said, you know, Maureen, when I have people over, they just come in and my house is what it is. And if it bothers them, I say, what bothers you about my house? And they might say, the laundry. Feel free to sit over there, fold it, put it away. Thank you. The dishes. Feel free to. So when they come to my space, they come to what my kids find comfortable. And I thought, I've never thought of it that way. So, yeah, I'm not the best house cleaner in the world, but I know that my house is a safe space. My children know my house is a safe space, and when they are over, they know it's, you know, just to be with Mum, just to talk to Mum, just to make memories with mum. And yes, when they're over, we might say, yeah, okay, let's do the dishes together and make even more memories.
Mm.
But, you know, we've got to stop trying to live up to what we think are other people's expectations.
Absolutely.
I think when we compare ourselves, that's another big factor in how it affects our well-being, how it affects our self-esteem and our self-belief.
Mm. You know, also I'm thinking, if I was to raise my kids back in the islands, where in the time that we were raised, you know, it took a village and the whole village helped to raise that kid.
Mm.
I believe that, whether it be in the local, the church group, or just your surrounding family, because, you know, in your village, you usually have three or four families that are all the same family. And here in New Zealand, you don't have that. Maybe your closest relative is in the town across from the other side of the city. You have no sense of any connection to anyone else that can be there for you 24/7 or even just a weekend to be there to help support with the kids.
And that's where isolation can creep in, feelings of isolation.
And loneliness, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we are bombarded by these amazing-looking families on television and in the papers. They have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people who criticize you.
Yes.
Or they make a careless comment, and yet it sticks in your brain.
So, it talks here about a Dr. Siale Alofoliaki, who says when they are no longer enjoying social interactions and they can't sleep and they can't eat and there's a lot of negative thinking, that's... I wouldn't know how to support you to come out of that, but the best way to do it is to try and reach out for help. Yeah? Would that be something that...
Well, sometimes you don't even know that you need help. Sometimes you think, I'm just weak or I'm just useless. And I think it's up to us who are the family members or the close friends or even a colleague at work, you know, just to keep an eye on each other, check in with each other. I have a friend, my beautiful friend Kim, and she knows what my chronic illness is. And whenever we meet, how are you? And I, you know, you say, oh, I'm fine. And then she'll hold my hand, look into my eyes and say, Maureen, how are you? And so to have those conversations is scary.
Yeah.
Because you're being asked to be honest and you don't want to burden somebody. But you know what? In IQ Talanoa, we try to provide a safe space for anybody out there who might need just to know that they're not alone, that they're not sick in the head,
right,
that they're not useless, just to know you are not alone. And that's why we created IQ Talanoa.
You know, so this article talks about prenatal, postnatal. So it could even go to the point where your child is in school and you're feeling that your kid is not doing well in school, and therefore the mum will then blame themselves to say, my kid is not doing well in school, therefore I'm not a good mother. And
but not only the self, the family tends to come in and also say, oh, takes comparing, after the mother,
yes,
dumb like the mother, or takes after the father, dumb like the father, rather than actually thinking, hold on, we all share the same DNA, so what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know it.
So the beautiful thing about it is every kid has their own way of learning, and if rather than the expectations of what is from the family or from the society, just getting to know your own kids, listening to what they want, because they might, you know, as much as all of our parents came here thinking, my child will be a doctor, my child will be a pilot, my child will be a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist. Actually, that's not what all of them wanted. I know my father asking me, I remember, I think I was in high school, year 11 to year 12, and my father asked me with such beaming pride, daughter, what will you be when you finish school? And I'm like, Dad, I want to be a bus driver. And I said, of all the confidence, and then the look on his face, I had to quickly think of, okay, something else, something else. Dad's not happy with that answer. Because I've always wanted to be meeting people. And I've always loved driving anything that's, you know, I've always thought the buses were the kings of the road. So that not every child has the same dream as their parents. And so what I'm trying to say here is a child and their dream is entirely up to the child. Of course we want them to succeed, but bottom line, we want them to be happy.
Yeah.
So if we get to that point, then we're doing the best that we can for our children.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And ourselves, so that we're not blaming ourselves. Mm. We're not blaming anybody. Absolutely. We're looking for the happiness of our kids.
So depression in many Pacific cultures, you know, carries, and in any other culture, I would imagine, carries enormous stigma and shame. Because, you know, I remember Mum used to work for a mental health facility.
Mm, mm.
And all we knew as children back then, if you had an illness in your head, if you were mental, you went to the mental hospital in Porirua. So that was our only knowledge about mental health. So now, you know, growing up, it's like if anyone, you know, talked about mental health, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with them. We need to stop that narrative.
Right.
In many cases, what they need is help to talk things out. Or it may also be a chemical imbalance, which is a real thing.
Right.
Now, I think it's Dr. Foliaki says here, let me just find it. It's a medical condition where your brain sort of runs out of the chemicals that needs to keep going or runs low on them. So things like sleeping, eating, concentrating, and even loving people just don't work like they would usually. And, you know, because I'm in school, we learn about the brain. And the brain is a creation that I believe is from God. And in this brain, wow, it's just an amazing piece of machinery that functions to allow the rest of your body to function. And just like a vehicle, an aeroplane, a boat, what it needs fuel. And it needs
rest,
but it also needs, you know, different fuels to get the motors running, right? Everything going. The chemicals in the brain sometimes do run low for whatever reason, or sometimes run out. And then we need to look at professional ways of healing our brain, just like a broken arm. There's a story in here. When you have something break in your brain in terms of the chemicals running out, or you know, you're feeling really low about something, it's just as effective, I mean, hurtful, as having a physical break in your body. You need healing. You need the correct kind of assistance to help you. And everybody is going to experience it at some level.
Right, right.
And we're looking at our Pasifika communities and saying, listen, go to your churches, go to the groups that you are a part of and say, let's begin to have these conversations so that our healing can begin, and hopefully we won't pass this on to our children.
Next generation, right?
And
right.
When I say pass it on, pass on the shame, pass on the stigma, pass on the incorrect information about seeking help to heal from any mental health issues.
You know, there's a phrase that I heard my husband use earlier in the week when one of my kids didn't go to work, and my husband's like, he had an MDO. I'm like, oh, what's an MDO? He had a mental day off. I'm like, so he was feeling fatigued, he was feeling tired. No, his brain was just really tired and he just needed a day off. I don't know if that was a joke, but I know that there are days in the week that I need an MDO. Maybe it goes for a whole week, I know. But, you know, it's when things do get too much, there needs to be a pause in your life. And I love what it says here. There's no shame in admitting that you are mentally not well.
Yep.
That if things get too much, there's a need for a pause. You just got to take that MDO. I don't know if that's the real phrase for it, but that's the name that
I like
heard
that.
From
MDO.
My husband. Yeah, he was saying, you know, when things get too much, just take an MDO and just chillax at home. Take a chill pill, get a couple of movies going, and you just chill for that day. And then the next week you should be good to go.
Or maybe you just need that pause to go get help.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you don't know what the next step is, and that's why I encourage you to join our Facebook page, IQ Talanoa. We have links in there to many different organisations for you to access help or at least access information. So we're going to leave it at that. And one of these days we're going to get a mental health expert in,
yeah,
or even a couple, great. Because I'm a great believer in counselling, but I'm also a great believer in sometimes you just need time out. So to finish off our Talanoa, there's this quote that my sister really liked. So I'm going to ask you to read it out and let's Talanoa.
Which one is that one?
Is that the stories one?
Oh, yes, yeah? Yes, yes, sorry.
That's okay.
I was, I can get that. So in this quote, it's a beautiful silhouette with a woman and the whakapako, and it says in whakapako,
hair is up in a bun.
It says, I like stories where women save themselves.
Absolutely.
Click, 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 click. Yes, I totally
can we say it again?
I like stories where women save themselves.
Now, that is beautiful. Mm. So I like to write stories. I like to write poetry. So I was looking for a quote that I could share on our IQ Talanoa page, and this quote came up.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, we are the creators of our stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And many of the old-time fairy tales that I grew up with, even the programs on television at the time, you know, the damsel in distress was saved by a man.
Always waiting for the man.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, no.
But that's not to say that we cannot start sharing stories where we save ourselves. Mm. What do you think, Neil?
I absolutely agree. One of my favourite, what you call those things? Whangongo.
Whangongo.
Of Samoan myths and legends is the goddess Nafanua. And the beautiful thing about it is she actually goes through my mother's village and she stops the war on a wall there between Faya'ai and my mum's village in Vaipu'a. So not only is it like culturally relative to me because of where
the location of the
legend took place, but because Nafanua is a goddess of war and she saved a lot of our Samoan people during her story and in that time. So I love that. I'm trying to create a story for myself to think of where have I saved myself in my own life. And I know that that would actually be a good story for me to tell. I'm going to think my thoughts through because I know I'm going to get emotional. So I'm going to turn the time to Maureen to share her story first. And I'll think of one that's not so emotional.
Well, looking at our time.
Oh, yes.
I'm thinking also, you know, gosh, every day is a story for our woman, right? Waking up is a story. What you went through that night, not getting any sleep because your child is sick or because you are unwell or because you hear noises, you know, in the night and that keeps you up, or there's so many things going on in your head that you can't even rest. That's a story in itself. I think when I look at this quote, I like stories where women save themselves. It can be in any situation. I think of a child, and a child who has the guts or even just the pure strength to say, no, I don't want to do that. She or he is already learning that I have, you know, I have a choice, and I have a voice, absolutely. So how are we as women, as mums, whatever your role is in a child's life, in anybody's life, how are we helping that person to write a story or create a story or live a story where they save themselves, where they feel that they have that option to save themselves? That's a question I want to throw out to you, Neil.
Yeah, you know what? I love it that you've said that everyday things, everyday occurrences could be a story for yourself. So a couple of weeks back I had, with our school, volunteered to be a camp supervisor to sleep over.
You are so brave.
supervising 65 girls.
Done my time.
Luckily, it wasn't, the boys were up in a different section.
Yeah.
But supervising 65 girls.
High school girls. Wow.
Yeah, 13 to 14-year-olds.
Wow.
Very interesting group of girls. Let me tell you this, I got 10 minutes of sleep that night because, of course, ghost stories go around the cabin. And then every hour, starting from 10:30 till 5:30, there were people screaming and running out of cabins because the stories got too scary. I mean, and then to the point where I looked at this girl and she looked possessed. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to scream and tell the whole cabin and then tell the whole everybody what it looks like. And It was just unreal how the girls just needed to be spoken to say, okay, it's not that I don't believe that you saw what you saw, but you don't have to tell everybody. And you're making it worse when you start to scream. And so, of course, when they realized that as much as they're crying and starting to hyperventilate, they were making it worse for themselves. Because come 5:30 and they are just exhausted, they just cried themselves to sleep. And all you had to do was sit there and sing a song to them and just sit there and say, you're safe. It's okay, we're here, we're watching you. I don't need sleep. Who needs sleep? My goodness. Camp is not about sleeping. But I just felt so sorry for those young girls who hyped themselves up so much in the supernatural that they needed to, you know, like when you sing a lullaby to Fa'amoe the baby, that's what it felt like for these 13 and 14-year-old girls who just literally needed that to calm down for the night. So that's unreal, you know, that mundane things like that happening out at a camp. Yeah, I kind of anticipated that I wouldn't sleep, but I didn't expect only 10 minutes of sleep. You know, unfortunately, the girls and their scariness of ghosts and goblins.
So what would you do different? Since you were the camp mother, what would you do different?
I would have done a kakalo, and I would have let them have a combined prayer together. Didn't matter what religion, I would have had them sing whatever song they wanted to sing. Ideally, it would have been a Māori hymn, and we would have done a combined prayer before sending them to their cabins to calm them down. But we didn't have the prayer until 4:30 in the morning, and then we realized, okay, this is not going to happen. This is not working. Let's do the prayer now.
So it sounds like better planning.
Yes.
By the others that you were with as well.
Yeah, that too. But it was just unfortunate that we didn't realize that the scary stories would have impacted them that much, because there were children that had been out on camps before, but they hadn't been exposed to ghost stories before. So that was interesting to hear, because I thought all camps you have ghost stories. But yeah, anyway, I don't know how scary they got it. Well, actually, we did know, because they kept waking us up every hour till 5:30.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So, I don't know. It just sounds like maybe, you know, the school can look at a better way to manage the camp for next time. Invite me along. I have them asleep. But, back to I like stories where women save themselves. I think we also need to make sure that women of all ages have a safe space to share their stories. The stories that the women of today, our young people of today, might have to share may be nothing like what we even have experienced in our lifetime.
Right.
So are they feeling safe enough to share it? We talk about this day and age today where our beautiful rainbow community are now feeling like, hey, maybe people want to listen to me now.
Yes.
10, 20 years ago, no way. But now we have children, even adults, who are now coming out in this space. And as a Pasifika woman, as a Tamaita I Samoa, this is something that I've had to really try and navigate with my own personal beliefs and my own feelings. But, you know, if we, as a Christian, if I really stand back and examine it, these are all children of God. If I really believe in my faith, these are beloved, beautiful children of God. And they need a safe space where their stories will be created, and their stories should be safe enough to share. Because how do we know how to get to know our communities if we don't listen to their beautiful stories? And there are so many amazing Tamaitai women out there, from many communities, our rainbow community, our migrant communities, our tangata whenua communities, every type of community out there who need to feel safe to share their stories. Mm. Whether you like the story or not is not irrelevant, the issue, right. Is irrelevant, absolutely. It's that this person
needs to be able to share it in a safe space.
In a safe space, in their voice, mm. not a voice that has been dictated to mm-hmm. by tradition, by don't shame the family. Mm. They have to feel safe and know that their voice, their words count.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in saying that, on Wednesday the 30th of June, mm-hmm. the Sargeson Short Story Competition, sponsored and run by the Waikato University, is advertised on our IQ Talanoa page. $6,000 is the first prize. And then there's a second and a third, but we're not worried what second and third is. We're focused on the first prize. So if you ladies and any gentlemen out there,
right.
If anyone has a short story, it has to be an original. Mm. And the rules are on the link that I've posted there. The deadline's not till Wednesday, mm-hmm. the 30th. Mm-hmm. You have 72 hours to write your story. Girl, you've got this. And yes. Remember, even though it's sponsored by the University of Waikato, these are your words. Mm-hmm. Straight from you. So, you know, of course you're going to look at spelling and grammar. Talk to someone, maybe, you know, you have a spelling and grammar Nazi sitting across from you in the radio studio, not looking at
That's
anyone in particular.
True.
Neil,
I'm helpful,
or
not
any
Nazi.
Teacher friends who, you know, wouldn't mind helping out, mm. write your story, type it up, give it to them to check, and then mm. send it through. You won't know until you take
Absolutely.
Part. And even if you don't win, you're going to get, you know, the opportunity to be judged by Patricia Grace.
Oh, wow. The
Our
author,
amazing
Grace.
Author in Aotearoa,
Beautiful
New Zealand,
woman.
Patricia Grace. Yeah, yeah. And who knows that you might get feedback anyway that will help you.
Yes, for next time.
For next time. Mm. And this is an annual event. So
cool.
If you miss out this year, that's okay. You've got next year as well.
Mm. And you can submit your 5 stories next year. There you go.
Now, speaking of submit, we are looking at our next Love from the Indigenous Queen
poetry book
for next year. So I'm giving a little heads up.
Mm.
Please start thinking of creating a poem. Mm. We have to limit it to 2 poems per person.
Oh, wow.
Because we are inviting our Indigenous kings to also create and submit something to be published in our book.
Okay.
Okay, so we learned a lot of lessons with our first book.
Yes.
Our first amazing book. Neil, you need to remind me, we still haven't given our books out to the high schools.
Yes.
And we've got a couple of books that have been sponsored, one by our beautiful Kathy Sosoli, and one by our beautiful Ange as well, that I need to give out. They sponsored some books. I think there's another to any organization.
Oh, okay.
So IOSIS is waiting for a book. They're a beautiful organization in Manurewa. But, yeah, start thinking about the next book, people. Poetry or a short story.
Wow.
Why
okay.
not? Yeah.
Because we can.
Because we can.
That's
Neil,
so
would
awesome.
You like, are there any announcements coming up for IQ Talanoa? Lucky you looked at me like that because now you reminded me.
Okay, what did I remind you
July 2018.
I have that good look, yes.
Is July. When we first organized for IQ Talanoa.
July
2018. Then we had our actual first meeting in August 2018.
So July is the month of our birthday, so something has to happen.
July is when IQ Talanoa was conceived.
Oh, wow.
we're hoping to meet together face to face.
Okay.
Get together for a little celebration.
Mm.
And of course, it's only going to be for those who can make it to Auckland.
Yes, and hopefully Wellington isn't in lockdown anymore. But then, because it's a face-to-face, it's not a Zoom.
Well, we're going to start fundraising because we plan to go back down to the Beehive. If not next year, definitely the year after. We have to see how Auntie Goviki is going to behave, COVID. And our hearts go out to our Australian queens out there, especially in Sydney, who have just entered into a 2-hour lockdown. And apparently they're... Two week lockdown.
Like, that's not fastest lockdown.
Lucky you're here to remind me. But I think I read just before we went on air that Brisbane, Queensland has identified some cases. So, you know, guys, it's please always check in. What's that scan thing?
The IQ scan.
Scan everywhere you go. I scanned today at church.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, my gosh, you know, we have to keep doing this.
Mm.
It's more like if something does happen, at least there's a record of where you've been.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can limit
the spread
of the virus. But take care of yourselves, guys.
Yes.
Please be safe. There's a winter blast coming in the next couple of days, according to the weather reports.
Wow, we're doing okay. We're doing weather reports
Weather reports. But, you know, Queens, keep warm and check in with your ainga. Make sure people have enough blankets. Make sure if someone doesn't have a heater in their home, maybe get them hot water bottles. Which are like $3 or $4 at $2 shops and that. Get that
You've
for them and
idea for my ministry.
Fill it in.
Yes.
There you go.
Cool.
Hot water bottle, even a little packet of marshmallows for their Milos or their hot chocolate, but a hot water bottle. My mum never goes to bed without one now.
Oh.
She loves her hot water bottle. She's not a heater person.
Gives her
a headache.
Yes.
So hot water bottles is really good. Neil, we have 4 more minutes.
Wow,
is there something you would like to kōrero or talano about in our last 4 minutes? Or did you want to? We should have brought our guitar. Why didn't we bring our guitar?
The only thing I did want to remind is the gratitude button in your car.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes when I forget, my daughters actually reach over and do the button push. So share. How that worked out for you for
this week, because
sharing gratitude, what does it say? A grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. It's a magnet
for miracles.
They will want to attach themselves to you because you're so amazing with your gratitude button.
That is true. That is so true. And being grateful doesn't mean you're weak or you're a pushover. It just means that you acknowledge the kindness of others.
Mm.
You acknowledge and are grateful for the things that people have done for you. And remember to acknowledge the people in your family, in your life, in your circle.
Oh, thank you, Maureen, for being such an awesome big
sister.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Before you go out and acknowledge others, I know there are some people who go and acknowledge the world and they treat their family like they don't matter. Mm. And that's not good.
Mm.
Don't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I'll take your blinky button away. Okay, so we're coming to the last couple of minutes, and I'd just like to, do you have any shout outs, Neil?
Well, actually, a shout out to the AFA who just yesterday posted up an email looking for cast.
Who is AFA again?
So Aotearoa Film Academy.
Beautiful.
They've got their script ready for the new show.
Wow.
And they're looking for cast members. I think it's called Black Rose. So a shout out to the Film Academy and those that are writing the script for this year.
And where can they find this information, please?
It's on
Facebook,
email.
on their AFA Facebook page. Aotearoa Film Academy Facebook page.
That's right.
We'll have all that information.
Gosh, lucky you remembered. You're so amazing.
See, I got you, Mr. Ali. I got you back.
That's terrible. My goodness. Yes, that's the new production for this year called Black Rose. And the genre is comedy, is it? Yes, something like that.
That is so cool. So when is their final show?
For Code Switch? Code Switch, their final show is November.
Down in Wellington. We're going to Wellington.
We're hoping there's no lockdown. So yes, we're praying for that.
Oh, we hope so. We hope.
Yes.
Now listen, guys, as we leave you, we just want to let you know that you are amazing. You are beautiful. Your voice is worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anybody pull you down.
Mm.
And if they do manage to pull you down, you have enough strength and mana within yourself to pull yourself back up.
Mm-hmm.
Join us on IQ Talanoa on Facebook and know that we are there and we can do whatever we want.
Amen.
We will do whatever we can to support you. Alofa te leatu for Maureen Pulea.
Take care.
Mataneo.
Soifua.
Manalei.
Fasui Pua.
Atamai.
Table,
this is enough now. Choo-hoo! Alofa atu, tofa soifua.